Everyone is looking for love. And they're desperate to find it.
We must show them love.
We must introduce them to love, to Jesus. To Jesus. For this is true revival. Love is all they need. Everlasting love. Rise up and go and show them love, revival love, supernatural love. Jesus is love.
Well, hello there. I remember in 1994 visiting Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship, which was the name of the fellowship at the time. And there was this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It was this major, I would call it revival, because revival means refreshing and outpouring. And with phenomenal manifestations, and the presence and the glory of God was so thick. But you know what? That has ushered us into a new day. And can you feel the waves of revival building again, just like waves coming upon the sea, just coming over and over and over, washing up even further upon the shore? Get ready, because there is a fresh wave coming. And today, as my guest, I have not only a woman of God that I respect very, very highly, but a woman who was involved in the Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship outpouring right from its beginning all the way through to now. It's been over 22 years of outpouring, is still going on. It's still affecting nations, but she's also a very dear friend. And Mary Audrey, oh my gosh, what a privilege to have you
with us today. Patricia, it's great to be with you, because we go back a long
way.
Before revival.
In fact, our mentor, Mary Goddard, who is now in glory, taught us so much about Holy Spirit, about his gifts, about walking with him, and about integrity of heart, and wanting the real meal deal, not settling for. I mean, she wouldn't tolerate anything of the flesh it came to the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit and that.
I know. I'm so thankful for what we learned from her, because it was a solid foundation deep inside when all heaven broke loose, plus lots of flesh breaking loose.
Yeah.
And we had to quickly discern.
And she helped us discern. That's what we need today. That's what you are, Mary Audrey. Yeah. You're a mentor in the things of the Spirit, because you are so seasoned, not only because you're a Bible scholar, you study the Word and you know the Word, you teach the Word well, it's accurate, great foundations, but you've also experienced firsthand Holy Spirit, the movement. You've watched His hand move, and you've observed things happening that even when you didn't know if it was Him or not, you you waited on Him for answers and how to orchestrate it and train teams. In fact, the whole ministry team at TACF was through your training and your manuals that you set up in the very beginning, which now people all around the world are using that training. And you authored that, and because you had integrity, you wanted to make sure there was quality ministry, giving the Holy Spirit room to move, but in integrity. And I love that about you.
Yeah, I often felt, you know, in those days when the Spirit was blowing ferociously through the place and through people's lives, and I often felt that I was more on the sidelines watching. I always say I was never judgmental or critical. I probably was, but sure observational, and trying to say, Lord, is that you? Is that just the person acting out of their own emotions, or is that the enemy? Because sometimes it would all look and sound the same, and we didn't have a roadmap. Everybody thinks, oh, we know how we're going to do revival.
Right.
We're going to have revival. Our five-year program, we'll have revival in year three. I don't think so.
Right.
When he comes his own way, and it's something that we've never experienced or had training for.
And he comes in power, but the power can manifest in different ways. I mean, if you look back over different revivals and outpourings over the history of the church, everyone is different. There was healing revivals and holiness revivals and revivals of great conviction and others of great joy, and it was like all different depending on how he chooses to manifest. And so back in 94, prior to it, I remember feeling, for even like years before, something's in the air. You could feel it. And we were having all these prayer meetings saying, oh, yeah, Lord, bring it on. And regional convocations. Oh, Lord, we want revival. And we thought we knew what that was going to look like. We thought there's going to be souls and conviction and all this. But when it came, oh my gosh, it wasn't anything like we thought it was going to look like.
No, and it wasn't patterned. Like, I think ours, what happened with us in Toronto was, first of all, a shaking us out of the religious box that we were comfortably in, number one. Number two, realizing that the Holy Spirit wanted to be the one leading church,
right,
leading the meetings, and then a really strong revival of being aware of the Father's heart.
Right.
So that's sort of like our basis.
I remember being with you at the first evening meeting that I preached at out there, and I was struggling big time with all the manifestations, and I thought, this cannot be from God. And of course, you and I had been trained from some of the best deliverance ministers in the world.
I know.
And so it was my discernment, according to what we had been taught, that this must be demonic, right?
Yeah, right.
And so I got up there that night in church and I went mute, right? I was staying at your home, and that night, after God had dealt with me, because, I mean, the meeting went on whether I liked it or not. And,
you were going to go and talk to the senior leader and tell him where he was wrong.
I remember that. I did. But that night, when I went to bed, I asked the Holy Spirit, I don't know why this happened to me, because he had made people mute. He had made me so I couldn't speak. I couldn't remember the message. And I said, why did that happen? He says, I'm showing my church who's in charge.
Yes.
And immediately, with that loving statement, this conviction entered my heart that I thought, I am so stinking proud. And all night long, he dealt with my pride, and I got so humbled. I mean, beautifully humbled. And I thank God for that. But to prepare for revival, because I so enjoyed the things that happened after that, for years after that. But I never would have been able to do that if my heart wasn't prepared through that dealing of the Spirit.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're passionate about outpouring of the Spirit. You've lived in it for years and years.
Yeah.
And you know that another wave is coming. So can you share with us what you think that wave is going to involve?
I just think he's bringing revival in so many different ways. Certainly not copying, as you've already mentioned, you know, past revivals and, Welsh revival and 48 revival, you know, from North Battleford and Pensacola and on Azusa Street. And so we think, well, if it's revival, it's going to look like one of those. And of course, it's not. Can I honestly say that for us in Toronto at that time, we were looking to move into perhaps healing, restoration in that way more. We didn't have any concept or idea. So I don't even know, can I be really honest with you? I don't even know how prepared we were. That's why I'm really glad that there were intercessors and people around the world praying for revival, thinking it might fall in their area. And it happened to fall with us. And we were pretty ignorant. So that when the Holy Spirit came, we had to probe. We had never walked that way before. It was like, God, what are you doing all the time? But what it has done is place something in our hearts. Like there's a revival breaking out of such a desire for him, number one, above all else. There's a fresh opening and a desire for the Word.
Right.
If you have the Spirit without the Word,
you know
the old adage,
both,
if you have the Word without the Spirit, you dry up. If you have the Spirit without the Word, you blow up.
You
have the Spirit and the Word together. And so people will be bringing us into that. There's a revival of revelation from so many aspects.
Like, oh my goodness,
like there's more life than, oh, how can I say this without demeaning the Word? Because the Word is the Word. The Scriptures are the Word. But it's like an unfolding of the Word that we're seeing things with revelation, not just mental study and mental agreement. But he's taking us deeper past what we've ever known
in the
surface.
He's showing us things about himself.
I know.
That we've never even explored before. That, are you kidding, God? This is amazing.
Well, that's revival, isn't it? Yeah. You know, and a revival of expectations instead of same old, same old, same old pattern. This is the way we do church. All of a sudden, he's breaking into our mindsets. And it's very difficult for those of us that have been around a while and institutionalized.
Right.
To let the Holy Spirit revive us in that section. And then, of course, what a revival now of the prophetic and the apostolic move and leadership within the churches. It's just changing. So how do we prepare our hearts? I don't know.
You know.
Search me, O Lord, and know my heart.
I was thinking back into prior to 1994.
Yeah.
We might not have known what was coming, but he knew what was coming. And remember, even in Toronto, Pastor John Arnott had felt the leading of the Spirit to get teaching on Father Heart, mm-hmm. on getting people's heart
healed.
Right before God,
yeah.
inner healing, yeah. and deliverance. He had had deliverance ministries come in and teach,
yeah.
and had the whole flock get under that.
Mm-hmm.
So he might not have understood even totally what
right.
that was about.
Yeah.
I know you and I took extensive training.
9 weeks.
Like in cleanup, right?
I know.
And it's like we were cleaning up everything we could find.
Yeah.
But it was actually a consecration getting us ready for what was
so.
To come, right?
So
that when
so.
The when revival came, there was a readiness of heart, there was a hunger,
right.
but there was junk that had been cleaned out, prepared. And I think of Joshua. Where the Lord said, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. So we didn't even know we were being consecrated. We were just la-di-da-di-da,
we
okay, this
up.
Is the next course.
Yeah, we were
you
growing
know?
Up.
And,
yeah.
and we were yeah. enjoying getting more insight. But what
yeah.
God was doing in his love for us was he was getting
yeah.
us ready. And, you know, I just feel really strongly right now for those of you that are watching that there is a touch of the Spirit that has already come upon your life that is inviting you to move very strongly into this consecration, getting ready for what's to come. He's refreshing you. And that oftentimes means of letting go of the old.
Yeah.
Because you cannot, I mean, we could not pattern it after what had happened. We had no grid for that. I mean, it was so ridiculous that no one ever would have been praying into it like, oh, Lord, bring a revival where we will be laughing and rolling on the floor. Or bring a revival where we'll be jumping around like pogo sticks. Bring a revival where we'll be roaring like lions and barking like dogs. No, we never would have prayed
that
way.
We would have never had that.
But God in it, in his wisdom, was breaking down our mindsets
yeah.
and letting us be introduced to his presence.
Yeah. I think all I can say is the main thing he did, he's caused us to be so hungry for him.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of whatever religious, traditional box we've grown up in. And just hunger for him. And he responds to that. He responds to that. Was it, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not out of religion.
Right.
But out of relationship with him. That's quite different than doing church. And so one of the biggest things for us was learning how to let the Holy Spirit be in control,
yes.
even of regular Sunday services outside
yeah.
the revival context, of
mm-hmm.
letting the Lord be the Lord. And that's not easy.
That is not
no.
easy, especially
uh-uh.
for a leader, right,
yeah.
that
no.
likes to keep
yeah.
everything safe. And John Arnott, he took risk.
He sure did.
He said, well, I'd rather just let this go and watch it for a while than jump to shut it down. And the thing is that there was so much fruit out of that. Like, because we look at Heidi Baker.
Mm-hmm.
She got touched by the Lord
Heidi,
during that time.
Right.
We look at Bill Johnson and the whole Bethel movement was
yeah.
really touched yeah. and affected. We look at HIM, which
yeah.
has over 30,000 churches in the network now that are just
mm-hmm.
going for God. It literally shifted the face of the church.
It literally shifted it
worldwide.
Yeah.
And I think it was like this portal opened up into the earth from heaven that changed the face of the earth forever. But I wanted to talk about you, Mary Audrey, because what I've observed is you being in, because you were there every night. I mean, night after night after night.
Oh, yeah.
You and your team
yeah.
there, they just served relentlessly
for
years.
6 months, we did 17 meetings a week.
17 meetings a week, and every
yeah.
meeting you
yeah.
were, you know, just serving the people of God.
Yeah.
But there's such like weight of the Spirit on your life. Like I've seen it firsthand where you'll get up on a platform and just like a childlike faith
mm-hmm.
being led by the Spirit into something. And I've seen some pretty funny things like lassoing horses and stuff. I mean, we won't go into
that
right
yeah.
now, but some of that is in your book, some
yeah.
of the things that took place. But it's like the presence of heavenly glory,
mm-hmm.
of God's
mm-hmm.
very presence would come into the room and transform lives forever. And it's like, I'd see you touch people and they would just go out and be
mm-hmm.
transformed forever.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something about you becoming revival, and you are revival. So could you share a little bit about that with
us?
Well,
I think that it's something that's so sovereign and miraculous he does, because you can't do revival.
Right.
You can't determine you're going to be revival. But I think something must happen within our spirit that releases. I know we are glory carriers. We may
mm-hmm.
may not know that,
right.
but I think he just uses us as a vessel. That sounds super spiritual, probably, but to pour out of. And so at his call, his time, his place, I think we become infected. It's like heavenly Ebola.
Come on.
Like we become affected. And what we noticed about the what was happening in Toronto, that it's so contagious.
Mm-hmm.
But it's contagious in a way that's not mind over matter mm-hmm. or copying. You could tell in meetings somebody that was copying somebody else because they
right.
thought they were super spiritual, so I'd better just shake like that, or I'd better, you know. There's something that comes forth that you're not even aware of yourself, mm-hmm. and that's what I'm aware of, that I feel very, most of the time, very ordinary,
mm-hmm.
Very sort of unspiritual, unprophetic. But in the midst of when it's needed, he pours out and does this. So it's got nothing to do with the force of personality.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, sometimes we have wonderful, wonderful leaders and ministry people that have got such oozing, fantastic personalities that you could persuade, you know, anybody into anything. It isn't that. Out of mm-hmm. the simplest, the quietest, most unassuming person can come a release of his life.
Mm-hmm.
You know that releasers of life is my mantra.
Right.
Is the, you know, to release that resurrection life.
It's
already
in you.
So what revival has done is just stirred that within your spirit. And as you're maturing yourself, like I've grown up, I mean, I've been spirit filled for a long time,
mm-hmm.
spirit baptized, maybe not filled, for a long time before revival began. But then you began a deeper work in your heart where you're so aware. Do you know, Patricia, up until only about 4 or 5 years ago, the cry of my heart was, this sounds so simplistic, I want to know my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're there. I know what's supposed to, I want to know
your
my spirit
man.
I need to know who you are and to recognize you. I always joke and say, you know what, I'm not a highly prophetic person. I don't walk around with 16 dreams and visions and technicolor stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, but out of your innermost being, out of the person, and that's for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what I've done.
Right.
Maybe I've just been so infected.
Right.
By being in the midst of it.
I think I know one of the things.
What?
Why you have been such a carrier of revival to so many people and have given life to so many nations. And I want you, as our viewers, to really listen to this one because I think it's important. I've always known you as a woman who has delighted in all the things of God. You've not been this real intense, like, I mean, I used to, you know, be so intense trying to strive and get everything just right and stuff like that. But you've always had this foundation of grace on the inside of your heart that released a childlike spirit, and that you were just happy about life. You were joyful about, and you were like a little child looking at the next thing that God was showing you. And you jumped into everything. If you can remember back, you always have jumped in on the cutting edge, and that is really important for you to know, is that God looks at your hunger and you don't have to strive and struggle. I know that place because I've been there. I was the most intense person in striving, like Mary Audrey firsthand saw that, okay? But it's like what you and Mary Goddard would always call me to say, Patricia, just get back into grace. Come on, get your foundations. Know that it's all about Him. And you would have this lighthearted expectancy and joy. You didn't worry about things hardly at all.
I'm
it was just like you
saw
just
that.
You just trusted God.
Yeah.
But I think it's
really
key. Like as I look back, I think that is a key to cultivating revival in the spirit because it keeps you refreshed. The moment you start getting into this legalistic pressure of like, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to do it right. And it could be passion for sure and fervency and zeal, but not according to knowledge, as Paul put it, because it's the knowledge of his grace. He was the apostle of grace. So can you share a little bit about that? Because you've walked in it, just that childlike ease and knowing.
Well, I know there was at a time a real tendency to strive. There was at a time, I don't think I have it anymore. Maybe that's just maturity, like getting older, I don't know, but such a desire to measure up, such a desire to please, such a desire to have everything right so that whoever I was, even the woman who was our mentor.
Right.
I mean, I went through a season where I had my eyes on that one
mm-hmm.
even more than I did on Jesus
mm-hmm.
and got strongly corrected by him in an amazing dream. He said, you'll have no other gods before me. And it was one of those, you knew it was a spiritual dream. And so
hold it. I felt that one. Hey, someone's going to get delivered today. You are, without knowing it, you never intended this to happen, but you're actually idolizing someone that that you are ministering with or to or for. Yeah. And the Lord wants you to have honor towards them, but you only have one God. And he's going to make an adjustment in that right now. Yeah. So we'll just leave that for you to think about.
Oh, he gave me such a dream. It was the kind of dream that you wake up and you're laying in bed and you're just like, you're stiff. You're going, whoa, you knew.
Wow.
That and it was a life or death thing. Mm-hmm. I was gushing blood. Life was pouring out of me. And I kept trying to find her and find her because I needed her to pray for me. I needed her. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't find her. And then she'd left the particular conference center where this dream was. And it was terrifying. And I literally felt life draining out of me.
Wow.
Literally, I could say that literally. Yeah. And then I heard him say, I am the Lord who heals you. You will have no other gods before me. And thankfully, that happened in the beginning of our relationship, our friendship, our becoming, a team together. Otherwise, I don't think it would ever happen because in my old days, I was very possessive. Mm-hmm. I had to hold on. So I learned to let go. Mm-hmm. And when that rises up within me even today, because it's part of that thing that still is still in there within my flesh,
I
recognize it now.
But not in your new nature at all.
I recognize it. So it was the same. And it's been the same all through this time of revival. I'm sure there's many people watching that have the big wigs. Mm-hmm. Come to the meetings and I just have to touch me or I just have to have you in part. I go after you. Now, I know I want to go after the anointing. I don't want to let something pass by.
Right.
But it's almost idolatry and putting somebody on a pedestal. And then, of course, you're devastated when that person gets a little bit human.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one pastor I had years ago that said, I hope you still love me when you see my clay feet.
Mm-hmm.
And so... So I learned to hold people a lot more tenderly and loosely.
Beautiful.
And my time during the first 10 or 12 years of revival was just watching and observing. Mm-hmm. And because of me having that mother heart and wanting to take being responsible for a ministry team and responsible for, I felt, maybe too big a responsibility in my mind for the people who came, I was always on the watch for the people to be kept safe.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, my heart was just for others because I've had to grow up with everything that's happening now with the increase of revelation.
Yeah.
I mean, like 20 years ago was what we're talking about now. I would have said, no, we're not going there.
Yeah.
No way. And for the first number of years, revival, I said, whoa, we're not going there. And I would try to put a clamp on it because I was ignorant.
Right.
You never, I don't care how long you've been in ministry, you don't know it all.
Mm-hmm.
There's always more.
And
always more.
And I think a lot of times when we judge things, it's like what John Arnott would say, is that we judge things we don't understand. And so we have only limited revelation at a certain place, and God wants to expand it.
Right.
So when the new is introduced, sometimes we reject it. And because it doesn't fit within our paradigm. And especially if we love the word and we're studying it and we have integrity, we want things to be kept clean. Sometimes it works against us in a way if we're not open to the Spirit and the increased revelation he wants to give us.
He just reminded me right now of a statement that I often use when I'm speaking, is that it's time we began to experience the reality of what we believe.
Yeah, there
you
go.
I can believe the word. I believe it. I believe it.
But we perceive it in a certain way.
I believe it. But now we need to experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
And experience is not a bad word. When you think, all you want is experience. I just want the word.
Yeah, no, we need to.
How could you be in the presence of the creator of the universe, the one that loves you absolutely, totally, filled with resurrection life yourself, and it not be something that would be... you'd have an awareness of, not just a mental agreement.
Yeah.
So for me, I had to move from mental agreement into being willing to embrace the possibilities of something more, because I was so afraid, that's a good word, fearful of deception.
Yeah.
And fearful of leading as a teacher or an encourager.
Yeah, you don't want to lead people
leading
astray.
People down a garden path that was not of the Lord. I mean, I've had, letters about that, so...
Well, Mary Audrey, I want to thank you for being a true mother of revival and for being so available, even in this phase of your life, to nurture us and to bring us up
to
new levels, preparing us for what's ahead. I want you all to know about this amazing book by Mary Audrey Raycroft. It's called Once Upon a Revival. And it's a great book. It's light. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll get insight, you'll get all kinds of deepened revelation from it. But we have the address or the information on the screen right now as to where you can get this book and also how to get in touch with Mary Audrey Raycroft. She's a great teacher, instructor, mentor, and we as a ministry are very grateful to her for her loyalty to the Lord and to the body of Christ and for all that she's poured into us as a ministry. I want you to remember this, that above all, what will revive you the most is that you remember this, that God loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really does. And nothing can change it. Nothing can take that love away. And when you come into the revelation of that love, it is not only the beginning of revival, but it is the fullness of revival. So we'll see you again next time. God bless you.
And so, Lord, I release your glory on my new friend.
This is Kevin. Kevin's job requires him to travel over weekends, which leaves Kevin without a church community. So he logs on to XP Web Church, where he can connect with a vibrant church community anytime, anywhere. Join now at xpwebchurch.com.
The Lord loves justice, and Operation Justice is all about establishing His presence in the nation of Cambodia. Many are suffering, but God has called His people to bring forth His love, justice, and hope to those who are in darkness. Come and be a part of XP Mission's strategic outreaches in the capital city of Phnom Penh. Join our team in Mercy Ministry and do a variety of ground-level missions work that will bring life and love to these people that so desperately need the kingdom to come into their lives. Sign up now.